We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Man, I feel like the eighth man on the bench.
You're part of the family now, player.
Somebody's injured. Put me in, coach. I'm getting used to it, and I'm having fun.
Well, I tell you what, Guru, it's a pleasure to have you in studio, so let's get this thing started.
I'm ready.
All right, today, a couple of different things we have going on. First off, with the Giants, what is the key for them for controlling the NL West in the second half? We'll talk with Rob Neyer, some baseball at 7. Who is the team to beat in the AFC West this year? Is it Denver? What about Kansas City? Or is it time for your Raiders? We'll talk with Lance Zierlein, NFL scout, and one of the best sports talkers in the country at 8:30. What is the key for success at Royal Troon, the Open Championship? We'll talk it with Shane Bacon at 9. He's from Fox Sports. And former USC quarterback, Minnesota Viking, 10-year NFL vet, Sean Salisbury, going to join the show at 9:30. But our top story today, we're going to start with the ESPYs broadcast from last night. Carmelo Anthony, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James took the stage together at the Microsoft Theater in L.A. and urged their fellow athletes to be active socially. Now, the message comes after the high-profile shootings in Dallas, Orlando, and Baton Rouge. We're going to play a portion of the speech with LeBron James speaking. One thing to keep in mind as we play this, the players, not ESPN, came up with the idea. It was Wade, LeBron, Melo, and CP3 who approached ESPN.
We all feel helpless and frustrated by the violence. We do. But that's not acceptable. It's time to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, what are we doing to create change? It's not about being a role model. It's not about our responsibilities for the tradition of activism. I know tonight we'll honor Muhammad Ali, the GOAT. But to do his legacy any justice, let's use this moment as a call to action for all professional athletes to educate ourselves, explore these issues, speak up, use our influence, and renounce all violence. And most importantly, go back to our communities, invest our time, our resources, help rebuild them, help strengthen them, help change them. We all have to do better. Thank you.
Lo, you've encouraged and talked about athletes speaking up or taking, finding their cause. And here we saw four stars do it last night. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I liked it because LeBron has a huge sphere of influence and he understood that. And if you listen to his speech, he talked about, you know, denounce violence, and he's talking about we're all angry and frustrated. He says, but to react is being foolish. To go out and because of your frustration, and you allow prejudice to slip in, and you allow ignorance to drift in and slip in, then you're no different than the accusers. So LeBron was very profound in his speech, and then he said, but most of all, he said, he pretty much was saying, you feed a village from within and you take care of the village from within. That's what LeBron was saying. So he said, yeah, we're athletes and we're all these different guys and people that different walks of life that we made it out of our environment. And he's saying, don't let your condition in life dictate your position in life. He's saying, go back. He said, most of all, that's the thing that I took. He said, most of all, go back to your community. Because most of these guys, individuals, come out of communities that are broken. They come out of communities where there is no leaders. There is no black Superman. So he's saying it's their fiduciary responsibilities, athletes, to go back. Don't just lip service. Don't just stand up there and give speeches. And that's where LeBron puts his money where his mouth is, raised $3 million for the Boys and Club Club, helping with reading programs, doing these different things in the city of Cleveland. And he's trying to mentor and do these things because you have to invest back into your community. If you don't invest in your community, don't be the one to stand up and say, oh, stop the violence, all this stuff. What are you doing to invest in a community? And that's why LeBron, I like when he talked about, most of all, use your resources, your sphere of influence, empower people, not entitle people.
We're talking about the ESPYs from last night where the big four, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, CP3, Dwayne Wade, all took stage to encourage athletes to take a stand. What was your reaction, Guru?
I didn't have much of a reaction. You know, I'm not mad, nor can I criticize these athletes for using that forum, but it's to be expected. We all know, all lives know that we do have a problem, and I kind of wish they would have problem solved more as far as a solution and what it meant to LeBron, him being a father himself. So, you know, I almost want to say, talk to me in 3 weeks when I see you in the community, as well as myself or anybody for that matter. But it rang hollow because I just felt like it was something, you know, basic that they needed to say, or somebody have, you know, gave them a piece of paper to, you know, kind of just touch on the topic. But you pointed out that they went to ESPN themselves to kind of get those words in. But again, I'm at a point and I'm so disappointed with what's going on. I wish LeBron would have elaborated and kind of said what, you know, any solutions that he may have had, and who knows how long that would have took him. And maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on that. But I definitely won't blame him, but I wasn't moved to the point to where I'm like, okay, you know, the situation looks better.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. And Lo, to Guru's point, what is the next step? You know, you heard about LeBron when he was talking about, you know, being active and taking action in your community. So it's easy for the guys when the camera's on and they're at the ESPYs to come out and speak on this. But what is that next step to actually seeing that change realized?
Myself personally, I work in the city of Fresno, and there's a poverty stricken area where there's a lot of the homeless. I get my kids up on the weekends. I make them make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, turkey sandwiches, and I cut them. And I physically get in the car and drive them down there. And I say, let's go feed these people. Because, like, this could be you. I said, and when we watch TV and watch different things that happen, I said, that kid in Africa, the starving kid, you laughing and saying, look at these kids or what have you, just paying it on mine. I said, that could be you. I said, we're fortunate. So I can't go and try to save the world. But I can save my asshole and I can try to save the village. So LeBron, he didn't sit there and elaborate on all the things that, here, I'm going to give you a draw out 3-point plan and how it's going to work. Because that wasn't the time or the place. This country is hurting. And LeBron is putting his money where his mouth is. He has a foundation. He's in Akron. He's in Ohio. He's in Cleveland. He is helping mentor and teaching kids to read, write, doing the basic fundamentals. Because when you don't have the education, and you can't do the basic things and read and write and be able to do things, what do these kids refer to? What do they they become creatures of habit. And now there's those same kids that you didn't invest your time and your energy into. Those are the guys that are robbing and stealing and doing the same thing that we wish they wouldn't have, but why didn't we stop them earlier? So LeBron has a plan, and he's executing his plan, but you can't try to save the world. You save individuals one person at a time, and you hope that it can continue to trickle down, but you can't go out and try to save everyone.
All right, that makes sense. So if I'm hearing you correctly, then it's similar to what my parents taught me when I was younger, and that's you can't worry about the entire world around you, but you can focus on what's
your community,
locally connected to you. And my dad would always tell me this, that if you go out and focus on your local community and make a difference in one person's life, then that can spread like wildfire to where you make a global impact.
Sure.
Right, Lo, and I hope I'm not coming off as I'm saying LeBron's not doing something.
No,
for
I understand
his
exactly.
Community.
No, he is. There's a lot of people that talk. There's a lot of chatter always, right, but there's a lack of action.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You want to see the action on the other end or
by
on the back
all of
end
us,
of this
yes.
talk.
But I believe some people looked at that speech by those players yesterday and felt like, oh my gosh, it was a march, or you know, they did something to try to rebuke the system, and it wasn't that. I wasn't that moved.
Understood.
You know, that doesn't make them bad people, Anna. I just feel like that was a stage, a form that they, you know, voice what was on their mind.
I think, too, we get cynical as we get older, right?
Yeah.
Where you hear people talk and you're like, well, that sounds nice, but where's the action? So I think that happens to all of us sometimes. But I do like the basic premise, right, guys, where you encourage people to act locally.
And that's the thing about it, though. You do have to, if you have opportunity, look up all the things that LeBron is doing. As a person and as a man,
that's
and
true.
You'll see
but it
that
wasn't just LeBron up there. It was Melo, CP3,
absolutely.
And Wade.
So when we're talking, that's why I picked out LeBron's, because I know that this guy is doing things that is trying to help community, that is trying to help a village, and trying to empower individuals instead of just entitle them, because entitlement continues to get this country in trouble. See, Martin Luther King and a lot of people, they empowered people. Gandhi, they empowered people. They didn't entitle people. in our youth and a lot of our individuals now, we believe in entitlement instead of empowerment. And that's why when kids come out of college, they want the $100,000 job or $200,000 job. That's entitlement. That's not empowerment.
We got more on LeBron and the SB speech coming up in 1 hour. We'll talk some NBA next. Russell Westbrook very well could be on the move out of OKC with Kevin Durant gone. With that said, what is the best landing spot for Westbrook? I'll let you stew on that one. 612 Chad Jones Low, 95.7 The Game.
Who's the favorite to win the Open Championship? Shane Bacon of Fox Sports joins us coming up at 9. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
Good morning, 6:15. Well, with Kevin Durant moving to the Golden State Warriors, it sent shockwaves around the NBA, especially in Oklahoma City, where they lose Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook will be a free agent after next season. That means he's free to sign anywhere. So the big question is, with Oklahoma City, do they hold on to him and try and get a long-term deal done, or do you move him now so you don't wind up with nothing come next summer? Well, Kevin Nesgoda, who's with SonicsRising.com, has this tweet that he sent out yesterday. I'm hearing that the Westbrook to Boston deal is basically in place and now just waiting on the final details to be worked out.
Wow.
That report there leads us to today's 95.7 The Game Take Your Pick poll question presented by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. So let's head over to the sports desk and bring in Anna.
All right. So today's question is, which team is the best landing spot for Russell Westbrook? Is it the Clippers, the Celtics, the Spurs, or will he stay with the Thunder? Now, these are all teams that have been linked right now to Russell Westbrook, potentially traded or not. So you can let us know what you think on 957thegame.com. Polls on the right-hand side of the page. You could also go to Twitter. Get involved in the conversation with all of us here. Use the hashtag TakeYourPick. Let us know what you think.
Guru, let's start with you. Which team on the list do you think is the best landing spot for Westbrook?
The Clippers. If the Clippers were able to somehow make this happen and land a top five player, in my estimation, they're right there with the Golden State Warriors in regard to this new KD arrival here in Golden State. It puts them right back on the map. And then those two that used to play together, sometimes didn't get along together, it would add to the rivalry. But my goodness, Russell Westbrook is a top three player, in my estimation, in this league, and that would be big.
All right, Guru takes the Clippers, and hold that thought, because I'm going to ask you another question on the Clippers in just a moment. Lo, of the teams, which do you think is the best landing spot for Westbrook?
Other.
Oh, wow. Lakers.
San Antonio Spurs. I think when you look at San Antonio, Parker's getting a little older. Ginobili necessary can't necessarily run the point at times. But you have Kawhi Leonard. Now if you put Westbrook with him, you have two guys that are prolific and score. Then you got Aldridge down in the post. You get to spreading. You get to spacing, a guy that can penetrate. So I think, and they play better defense, I think that the Spurs can go after this guy, put him at the point. You still got Kawhi Leonard, like I said, and Aldridge. You have your big three.
And Gasol.
And you still got Gasol. So now you have a team, a big four, that can compete with anybody.
You know what, Lo? I'm with you on this. And the reason why is Tony Parker has been so good for so long for the Spurs. But he is nearing the end.
He's a backup. Yes.
And
he's,
one of the big problems that we saw in the playoffs last year in their series against Oklahoma City, Tony Parker was getting tore up by Russell Westbrook and company because he can't defend like he used to. He can't get after it, and injuries have been a problem. So that leaves the Spurs in a vulnerable spot when Tony Parker's not right.
And you remember Tony used to use the speed to rain terror on other teams when he was like, I used to call him the Roadrunner.
Right.
He was so fast, but now they're getting beat defensively. And when you get beat at the point guard position in basketball, everything else is done. You know, if the breakdown is at the point guard position, you're in trouble.
He reminded me of the kid, is it the shoes? Remember the game? And he played. He was the mayor of Sacramento now.
Kevin Johnson.
Kevin Johnson. KJ. Fast, quick, can explode. That's what Tony Parker might. So now Tony Parker can be a backup. And also, the best thing that we're missing out of all this, Anna, is Popovich, the coach, what he could be able to do with Westbrook.
How could you not love Pop?
Where would you like to see him? What do you think is the best landing spot for him, Anna?
I would actually really like to see him go to the Celtics because they need something in these. Originally, when Kevin Durant was in free agency, I said if he wasn't going to come to the Warriors, I wanted him to go to the Celtics because all of a sudden now the East is more relevant again. You have that extra powerhouse. And while he He's not quite Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook is still a damn good player.
That's true. So, and you're right. Cleveland-Boston, a rivalry.
Oh, be great. Would be great. It would be absolutely great. And they have a really talented roster, and they have a ton of draft picks. So it would be a great trade, obviously, for OKC. So I think that is a team on the rise. And if you add Russell Westbrook, that absolutely makes them a contender. So you can let us know what you think. Go to 957thegame.com. Polls on the right-hand side of the page. You can vote until midnight tonight. Then go to Twitter, at 957thegame. Use the hashtag TakeYourPick. We'll read some of the best tweets. You can get involved in conversation with all of us.
Guru, if the Clippers, and we know the Clippers were on one of his potential landing spots, how would that work in the short term with him and CP3 together?
Well, this, to me,
would
if
you,
I
would
were
you put
running
Westbrook
things,
at the two?
Oh, most definitely. And that's been half his problem, is he's been put in a position to run a team when really he shouldn't. He shouldn't be the conductor. He's so gifted athletically and physically, he needs to be a two guard. So when the game gets tight low, the decision maker will be the coach, Doc Rivers, but he'll give authority to CP3, who can then put Russell in the best position. And then you got two guys down low in Blake and DeAndre Jordan. I'm getting goosebumps now thinking of, you know, a Western Conference final with the Clippers and Warriors, but it would be star-studded if you add Russell Westbrook. And real quick, what Anna said about KD, we could argue that those are equally as talented.
You're talking about what, Westbrook,
Westbrook
and Durant?
Westbrook and KD.
They're close.
They're close.
Right.
They're both good players.
You know, and A minus is, to me, it's that's how much I respect both of their talents.
Yeah, you don't lose with either guy.
Right.
Wow. CP3 and Westbrook together. That would be fun to watch. I would like him to go to the Clippers just because of what that would do for the rivalry between two teams that don't like each other, Warriors, Clippers, and you have two players who play with each other in OKC. So the storylines, not to mention with Doc Rivers and some of the stuff he said over the last
couple
years.
Oh, they're mad. They hate the Warriors' success. You know it's killing them.
But look at how that would ratchet up that rivalry between the Warriors and Clippers. That'd be good for the Western
Conference. And how often does that happen to where, just like the Warriors, you lose the finals in historic fashion, but then you go get KD to mask that pain, and here we go. Because KD left, the other domino effect is now Russell's available, and if the Clippers, Doc Rivers probably lands somewhere right now, he can't sleep. Because the Warriors got KD and they're just sitting there stagnant. This would just put infusion into the franchise, and it would be just marvelous to watch.
I think that if KD, he's a better fit.
You love saying that, KD.
KD. He's a better fit. He's a better fit with the Clippers if Westbrook than Westbrook. Mm. So if the Clippers would have got KD, I'd have been like, okay, you got problems. Because now you have a facilitator in Chris Paul, and the things that he can do to create things for KD. Those two would work together well. And now you have one of the best rebounders in the game in DeAndre Jordan. You have one of the best post player that can play with his back to the basket in Blake Griffin. Now, if you would have had KD on that particular team, now you had something. Westbrook and Chris Paul are kind of the same player. They want to dribble, assist, but Chris Paul is way more consistent than Westbrook. Westbrook is a more prolific scorer and a better penetrator and a better finisher, but he's not more of a facilitator. So, yeah, it could work, but if you in a perfect world, KD to the Clippers would have been a way better fit.
You know what I hate? Westbrook just taking shot after shot after shot. People always pile drive at Westbrook on his lack of willingness to make plays or to set up teammates.
I mean, his deficiency
is
like,
so darn good. Like, who wouldn't want that guy on your team?
Yeah, but he has a haywire gene.
Yeah.
And the haywire gene comes out like
in crucial moments.
At the worst part, like
I've seen I've seen trained lions, I've seen trained elephants, tigers, and bears. I ain't never seen a trained jackrabbit.
Wow.
He's untrained.
But I believe the effect of Doc Rivers to hone that in would just make, you know, it would enhance who he is and bring out the best.
But just like people say, well, you need Draymond Green to be a little bit crazy because that's when he's at his best. How many times have we heard that over the last few weeks?
Ugh.
You need Draymond to be Draymond, right?
Yeah.
Well, don't you want Westbrook to be that untrained jackrabbit out there on the floor
it's
doing
different.
What he does?
Right? It's a difference.
You can't train him. That's the thing, though. It's a difference. Like you're saying, you want a control theory. You want him to be in the crucial moments. Instead, he's going crazy and not facilitating.
Yeah, but can he be that guy? That's, can he be a controlled?
I don't know.
That's a the controlled role. Fury.
I don't know.
And when you talk about Draymond, he's a guy, I call him junkyard dog. That's his to muck it up and, right. and get physical. But when you're a point guard, Chad, no, you got to have that other gene,
poise.
Step back, poise, and oh,
you don't think he's the
fourth quarter?
You got to slow this down. I've seen that Joker just do some.
He's
things.
Erratic, just, but yeah. Under the tutelage of Doc Rivers, who was a great point guard.
I'm with you guys now.
I'm excited.
Controlled aggression,
right? Yes. I love what he can
so
do.
So be
he's
aggressive
amazing.
And
he's
push top, the limits.
He's the top eight players in the league.
But he goes haywire. But
is any more haywire than Steph Curry and his cute little behind-the-back passes in Game 7 of the NBA Finals? That's my whole point.
But, see, like, Steph had, but see, Steph does it. Sometimes Steph is not an all-time guy. Like, this dude would just come down. You're like, dude, what are you doing, Westbrook? And it's the way he looks. He just starts giving you the look.
Also,
like,
if you smile and point up into the sky after you throw it off your back out of bounds in Game 7, it's all good, right?
Well, because Jesus will help Steph. Steph can be fixed. I don't know if he can. That's why I think that Popovich could be that guy for him.
Westbrook's unfixable.
He's unfixable.
He's crazy. What does he always tell me about crazy? Get cured crazy.
Can't fix crazy.
No, you can't.
But that's why Popovich would be that guy, though, that if you had any chance, if you said any coach that Westbrook would probably respect, he has a demeanor
him
about
or Doc.
Himself.
You're right. Yeah. Him or Doc. And San Antonio, that's sexy, too.
Sexy.
We're going to revisit sexy and this question coming up at 7:45. Another plot twist in the Draymond Green slap saga. Lowe's got a great story to tell you how all this stuff goes down. You're going to hear it next. 626 Chad, Joe and Lowe, 95.7 The Game. So this is what we do know. Warriors forward Draymond Green was arrested early Sunday for allegedly punching Michigan State football player Jermaine Edmondson in the face during a confrontation at an East Lansing restaurant. Now, according to the police report, Edmondson told police that he told Green to watch where he was going after Green had bumped into him at a different establishment on Friday night and that he and his girlfriend were choked by Green's associates. Now, Edmondson said that on Friday night, I was talking to one of my teammates when Draymond bumped into me and I said, hey, bro, can you at least say excuse me? Now, Edmondson went on to say that I asked who he was to think that it's okay to bump into somebody without saying excuse me. He then said, I pay for bleeps like you to get scholarships. Then I started to say, you have me messed up before I was choked out by two of your guys. Now, Edmondson went on to say that he and his girlfriend were back at a place on Saturday, Conrad's Grill, to celebrate a birthday. And that's when they noticed that Green was there at Conrad's as well. Now, Edmondson told the police that the NBA star was talking to his roommate when he decided to roll up on him and say, hey, last night wasn't cool. Edmondson told the police that that's when things began to escalate. He responded to me. He began to poke me on my shoulder and tell me that he doesn't need to put his hands on me. We can just talk. As I started to talk again, boom. I'm punched in the jaw in front of all my friends and peers. So we got a situation now, Guru, Friday and Saturday night, where football player and Draymond Green have, you know, cross paths.
You know what? Normally, I would say this is no big deal at all. But the fact that Draymond Green's temper, a la Adams, a la LeBron James, could arguably be said that's the reason that the Warriors failed to go back-to-back, this is a big deal, and you have to keep your composure if you're Draymond Green, especially after what just transpired. So, really, Chad, I want to tell you, you know, maybe this dude just they didn't get along, but it's in the news. It makes the Warriors look bad. I don't care what anybody tells me, and it looks like this guy is in the midst of pressing charges. And if you're Green, it's just not a good look, man, especially when you're a ball player. You can't, you know, as strong as he is, go around picking on people that look like the little man when it's all said and done. So he's in a no-win situation.
Now, out of curiosity, as a father, what type of advice do you give your kids for these type of situations?
Well, I do tell them, you know, keep your hands to yourself, but defend yourself when somebody puts your hands on them. So that's what cloth I come from and the advice that I give my kids.
So don't start it, but definitely finish it.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're taking a look. And that's understandable. My dad told me the same thing. Like, don't go around looking to start a fight. But at the same time, if someone starts attacking you, don't be afraid to defend yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Lo, what would you tell your son? How'd you approach those situations?
It's I don't know what happened with Draymond. I know we're all speculating what happened. If he slapped a guy, if a guy was in his face. I think when you have difference, it's when you have pro athletes and you have college athletes, The college athlete wants to be a pro athlete. The pro athlete understood he used to be in college. And sometimes the pro athlete can big-time guys. And
this happened to you, right?
Yeah, I've had incident where it was like that. One incident that I was talking about is in college, a guy that I played with, we played together on a team, he gets drafted. So I go up to him and say, man, congratulations, you made it. And he's like, hold on, man, I made it. You make it. I'm in the league. I'm like, whoa, take it back. And I was like, wow. So at that time, I was like, all right, this guy, you know, he's
changed.
In the league now.
Yeah.
He's changed a little bit.
So you went out of your way to go up to this guy and say, hey, congrats, I'm a big fan. Wow. And he big time.
I don't know if I'm not a big fan because I was better than him in college. And it just so happened he got drafted. So I was just going
to giving him props.
I was just giving him props to say, man, congratulations, you made it.
Thanks.
He said, man, I made it. And he said, now you make it. Don't worry about me.
Wow.
Yeah, he shined on me. And I was like, wow. But I walked away with my buddy. And I was like, okay. And it just, all it did was make me more determined to get there. And I played 17 years. He played 3. So it was a situation where sometimes
Did you happen to run into the guy on the following night and say, hey, look, last night, was it cool?
No.
And you had to slap him around a little bit?
But I saw him at that bar that night, and we're still at the same club. And I let it go. I mean, you got to realize he had the table because he's earned the right to have the VIP table, and I haven't yet. He had the money to have the bottle of Don, and he's at a club in Fresno, and I'm down on the floor, and he's up on the VIP because he has money, and they were able to do it. I didn't hate. I was just like, wow, more power to you. But I think that it let me see, okay, cool, guys change. And that's why when I went back to Fresno, a lot of guys I'd buy drinks and do things for college kids and talk to them and sit with them. And so those are things that could happen. And Draymond's in a situation, you know, the guy comes up, they bump each other, man, say, excuse me, like, do you know who I am? So I could see that happening.
The bottom line, though, Chad, is Draymond needs to, you know, no press. You just came off, like I said, you were a big part of the team not winning. If I was Draymond or in his camp, I'd be like, the news that you're making with your actions are not good. Whether that guy deserved it or not,
agree.
You need a low profile, buddy. Well, and right now, every day, what are we talking about?
Draymond.
This story,
it's
not a good look.
No, I agree.
It's a horrible look.
And that's what my dad would tell me. He wouldn't want to hear about the incident itself. He'd be like, well, number one, why did you wind up at that location at that time on a Saturday night? You know, nothing good's going to happen out there. You put yourself in that position. That's what he would say to me. But I'm hearing a couple of different things that are interesting. So first off, you got Guru here. It's like, look, regardless of the circumstances, Draymond is Draymond. He's got to stay out of the news. Just keep it nice and tight, nice and straight.
Right.
I get that. And if you're low, I'm seeing this situation now where I get this. College athlete, you know, thinks he's something, wants to roll up and give some props to Draymond. And Draymond kind of gives him the little shimmy. He's like, what, bro? I made it already. You go ahead and do you. I understand what Lowe's talking about there, too. And you can see how a young guy might get a little ticked.
And this is one side of the story, too.
Yeah, you're right.
You
got
to remember, there's going to be some truth in this, and there's also going to be a little bit of things that are missing in the story as well.
But let's be honest. When you think of Draymond Green and how he plays, that's not helping the situation from afar. It's like, oh, he's just, you know, not being a meathead, but he's a guy that can't control his temper. Right, Lowe?
I think that, like Anna said, there's two sides to every coin. I've been in situations where you know, a guy's hating on you or whatever. And at the same sense, guys aren't going to necessarily back down. Mm. And if you do radio, and if you're in a bar and a guy's in your face or he's taking your space on the bar and you're like, dude, just calm down. And he still elbows you and do whatever. And he puts his hand, you're going to react, man. That's just the way a lot of people are built. And it's not that it makes it good or bad. And maybe, you know, you say, man, I should have. And then afterwards, you're like, man, I shouldn't have handled that way. But sometimes in the heat of the moment, your manhood, guys are having some drinks. A guy's in a compromising position. He's in your face. You in your face. Who's going to blink? Somebody's got to be the cooler head in situations.
Well, Guru, he was also explaining the situation where, and you've seen this. We've all seen this before, right? You get the one guy who's trying to challenge you in a bar. He stands with his chest puffed up, you know, and he kind of bumps you, and then you look back, and you're like, what's up with you, bro? And out of reaction, you'll give him the push.
Did he actually say, who do you think you are? Something like that you said there?
That was like, what Draymond said, right? Do you know who you
are? Do you know who I am?
Oh, Draymond said it. Yeah. Okay, the guy didn't say it at all. Like, he obviously, I mean, I was going to say, if he goes to Michigan State, how does he not know who Draymond Green is if he walks into a bar, right?
No, I would assume that's why Draymond said, do you know who I am?
Okay.
And that's what's strange. They're both MSU alums.
Yeah.
Normally, like, if it was Florida, Florida State, I get it, but MSU fam? That's strange.
But what you mean?
That's strange,
what you mean you don't get it? If a dude walk in a club and he got all the money and there's another hot chick and she happened to be with the college boy and Draymond's like a couple years out of college removed, old chick looking at old Draymond
she's
or something.
Piece of Dre.
She looking at stuff and then he looking, oh, you looking at him? He getting beef. He want to start something with Draymond. Come on, man. He's seen this game before. I mean, it's like for me, it's not a big deal because I've been around it. I've seen both sides, and they were like, oh, what happened? Well, dude's jealous. His little girl, because she's a little side thing, she won Draymond or looking at Draymond. He pissed because he can't control what's going to happen inevitably that she want to get with Draymond. And so he might want to flex.
If you're Myers or Kerr and company, you're not happy with Draymond being in this news.
You don't. Draymond's
especially
got,
after what just Draymond, transpired.
Draymond, and you got to realize, Draymond's got to, even though his bodyguards and people that he have, you can't have them grab and choke people out. You got to have them. I know that's what you're talking about. We know we get on the show and we talk about, oh, guys got to have that fall guy. Well, you see, sometimes Draymond had a guy and they put hands, they can get too tough because they want to show Draymond, I got your back.
And who's he going to reflect poorly on?
Draymond.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's best to just lay low key, stay at places that you think that's not a good look, because Draymond, no matter what, he loses. Like, this is what you said. He loses. No matter what, this is not a good look for Draymond.
Can you imagine Draymond looking at him and saying, look, shut up, man. I pay for your scholarship.
I can.
Well, that's kind of a low blow. It's a cheap shot, Dre.
And the funny part is this was a two-night event. The first night is when they bumped into each other. And if I understand correctly, the next night, Draymond went back up to the victim, alleged victim, to kind of tell him, sorry about last night. And that's when the guy didn't take two to him putting his hand on his shoulder. And that's when it got out of hand and somebody got slapped.
You're right, Lo. There's probably women involved, jealousy.
Money.
Ego. Yeah,
lack of money.
Draymond put his hand and said, hey, man, sorry about my guys grabbing you last night.
Don't touch me,
get your hand. And he shined on him. And then, like Anna said, it's two sides. I don't know what
happened.
All I know still, Draymond's got it. Cooler heads have to prevail. You're a leader.
No, but if you shine Dre, you're going to be in fist.
That's just, and that's who he is.
And yesterday I heard this, which I hadn't heard, the Draymond driving incident. And the only reason I heard about it is now people are trying to talk about all the things that Draymond has done that has been questionable, starting from getting suspended in the finals to Adams. And then yesterday I'm in the car and I go, oh, I forgot about when he was driving 120. Not saying that's a violation, but
that's
just
a bad thing. That's dangerous.
He could have killed somebody or he could have died.
But my biggest point is what you had to say. It's like Draymond Green. He's Draymond Green, so I care what he does when he's not playing basketball because I want him to be available for the Warriors. Mm. He's critical to their success. That's all. I just want him to be straight. I have higher expectations for guys like Draymond.
And now do you think the opposing players are like he has a button now? Like Dennis Rodman, that could be a Warrior weakness, low when stuff is going haywire, the game is close, we can bait, we could use a goon to get under Green to make him do something that might be detrimental to the team.
Of course guys are going to try that with him.
There's a button now.
We got more on this coming up at 8 o'clock. The latest in the Draymond Green slap saga. If you missed it last night, we're going to play it for you next. Craig Sager, fine broadcaster who's battling cancer, gave a terrific speech at the ESPYs. 6:43, Chad, Joe and Lowe, 95.7 The Game.
Don't miss skateboarding legend Tony Hawk coming up at 11:40 with Joe Fortenbaugh. Now, back to Chad, Joe, and Lowe on 95.7 The Game.
6:46. You know, for a number of you out there who have been watching sports over the years, especially the NBA, you're familiar with Craig Sager, longtime TNT sideline reporter and one of my favorites, known for his very vibrant suits that he likes to wear on the sidelines, but great guy. He's been battling cancer now for quite some time, and well, you've been watching Craig Sager for a long time too, right, Guru?
Man.
You're down with the guy?
Yeah, I can remember, TNT, when TNT wasn't quote-unquote what it is now, and Craig was always there. The one thing I take from Craig, man, even with him battling this, is him saying,
He's never felt sorry for himself, nor did he want anybody's sympathy. And he's remained Craig with that upbeat manner. And when you sit back on your couch at night just looking at what he's going through, to have that perspective, you can give the guy nothing but respect.
Well, Craig Sager last night received the Jim Valvano Award at the ESPYs, and he gave a great speech. Let's take a listen to Craig Sager.
To those of you out there who are suffering from cancer, facing adversity, I want you to know that your will to live and to fight cancer can make all the difference in the world. The way you think influences the way you feel, and the way you feel determines how you act. And to everybody out there, we are making progress, incredible progress. As the Vice President said, the Moonshot Program, we are going to find a cure for cancer. But we need your help. We must continue to donate. We must continue to fight. And we must continue to do this together. I am grateful to my parents, Coral and Al. They raised me with a positive outlook on life. I always see the glass half full. I see the beauty in others, and I see the hope for tomorrow. If we don't have hope and faith, we have nothing. Whatever I might have imagined a terminal diagnosis would do to my spirit, it summoned quite the opposite, the greatest appreciation for life itself. So I will never give up, and I will never give in.
There's Craig Sager at the ESPYs last night. I'll be honest with you, Guru. I hope that if there's a time in my life where I'm facing that type of suffering, you know, whether it be physical, spiritual, mental, whatever, that I can approach it with that type of fight and that type of attitude.
Yeah, that gave me chills. And to hear him say terminal and still, Anna, say that he's not going to give in and continue to fight, it's easy to sit back and, you know, this is deep, it's scary, and it just lets you know how brave Craig Sager really is.
Anna, he also touched you pretty well last night with that speech, didn't he?
I was bawling last night, and I got to say also my my cousin's wife had just passed away right before Christmas this last year, and I've seen her go through her fight with cancer and to see what it does. And it was hard for the entire family, and to see also the support of his wife and his family and what everybody was doing. He was so positive. That's the most amazing thing. The fact that he's still working, that he's still out there and really just trying to stay as positive as possible. I can't even find the right words to say it. I mean, I'm getting emotional thinking about it right now. But it just filled my heart, and it just makes you think, God, I wish somehow they would find this cure for cancer one day. And just, he is just such an inspiration.
And, you know, me having kids, you just take life for granted sometimes in regard about tomorrow. Like, you know it's coming, like it's there for you.
Yeah.
And things can change in 1 second for a lifetime. And, again, it just gives you more respect and lets you know that you really, truly, we all need to count our blessings, yeah, our health. And tomorrow's not promised. And guys like Craig Sager, that reminded me of Valvano. I mean, that's how moved I was. So it was fitting for him to get that award. But I'm sitting there like, this guy's still doing his job, still focused, and still telling us and the nation he's going to fight to the end.
651, Chad, you're on Low 95.7 The Game. Guru is in for Fortinbaugh today. Elsewhere in the NBA, and this will kind of strike a chord with you, Guru, Charles Barkley speaking out on the NBA and super teams, and could we potentially be looking at a lockout?
He's a hell of a player. I was disappointed. I'm not going to go crazy on the kid, but I was disappointed that he joined up with the super teams. But he had that right. But I was a little disappointed because I want to see competitive balance. You know, I don't want to see two or three good teams. You know, and I hear all these fools on radio and TV talking about, well, there's always been teams that are better. Yeah, but at least we had great players in other
cities.
Throughout the league. And then I think what's going to happen, these fools going to figure it out next year when they're locked out. Because these owners ain't going to go for this. I'm going to be sitting at, in Alabama fishing and playing golf like I do every day. These owners, they're going to strike back because this is a business.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to have three good teams and the rest of the NBA sucks. They're not going to have that.
Well, I mean, he kind of feels similar to the way you do in regards to Kevin Durant joining the super team.
Well, that was competitive-wise. I didn't understand why, you know, guys on the Golden State Warriors who were so successful for the last 2 years felt like they needed KD.
A superstar
that's,
like
that,
KD.
That's mental. This is, I don't get, there was no problem in talk of a lockout when LeBron James and company were going to the NBA Finals 4 or 5 years in a row. So Charles comes out and makes these comments, and I sit back and say, oh, it's the Warriors who got KD. So I'm wondering, Anna, if that's really what has him in a frenzy, because this was okay when it was LeBron James in Miami doing it, and the Warriors have yet to play one damn game, and now there needs to be a lockout. And the NBA, you guys, has always notoriously had, it's been top heavy, two or three teams and then the rest. And I can go back to my childhood, there was a video game, it was entitled just two teams, Lakers, Celtics. So that's all you had and all you knew who was going to play for the championship. But now it's a problem. I think it's a little jealousy that the jump shooting team got better.
What video game was that? I'm trying to think back. I don't remember the Celtics.
For the
and Lakers
Sega
video
Genesis.
Game.
Sega Genesis. See, 1991, Lakers Celtics.
I didn't rock Sega Genesis.
The only one I played on Sega was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, I had that too.
That was good.
So there was just a game, Lakers and Celtics.
Yeah, Lakers Celtics, but it had all the teams. But it was you know, the
well,
two teams.
That's about right, because back then when we started watching the NBA, it was always the Celtics and Lakers in the finals.
And that's the history of this league. And I know everybody wants, parity, but I got to honestly tell you, when you look at the Sixers, shame on them. When you look at the Hawks, shame on them. The system is providing you these draft picks, Lo. It's up to you to hit or miss. You got the T-Wolves taking Flynn when they could have took all these other great players. So it's not welfare, but you're almost upset that you're making bad decisions, and you got to scout better. You have to know if you got a chance to take a Kobe or a Daryl Johnson, you take Kobe.
Well, in addition to that, Mark Cuban said he disagrees with Charles Barkley on the super team. Mark Cuban, owner of the Mavericks, says, in regards to the Warriors, they became the villain, just like when LeBron James went to Miami. I love that there was a villain. They became the villain. I'm fine with that. Everybody's going to root for them to lose. It's always been tough for super teams to stay super. When you congregate that much talent, one injury destroys the whole thing. They played by the rules, so it is what it is. It has always happened. It's nothing new. So Mark Cuban's like, we've seen this before.
I think he lost his fastball. Dallas hasn't landed a big free agent in a long time. You see Cuban on Shark Tank and all these other making the rounds. And, you know, a lot of people in Dallas are upset with him, but I'm with him on this comment. To hell with it. You know, they play within the rules. KD chose to go to Golden State. They made a good presentation, and the rest is history.
He understands what it's all about.
And let's see here. Steph Curry. We have him talking about Kevin Durant. He said, hey, look, we gave up a lot to get our man.
I'm not going to complain about it. I know for a fact that it's going to be a different look. We have obviously lost some key guys that meant a lot to us and our success. So we gave up a lot to gain KD, but we're going to be a different team. So at the end of the day, there's nothing guaranteed in this league. And I know that we want to avoid, you know, that kind of situation, but we have to go out and play, and it's going to be a tough test.
What's your reaction to Steph there, Guru?
He's all on board on giving the keys up. He doesn't want to be Captain Kirk. Doesn't make him a bad person. But to me, Lo, it's a little disappointing because I felt like he was the captain of this ship that had a great journey. And he sounds really damn excited about the possibilities of playing basketball to where the focus will no longer just be him on defense. And like you talked about the other day, maybe that will give him some mental freedom as opposed to, you know, fatigue and pressure of being the man.
It will. It's a humbling experience for a superstar to say, you know what? Hey, look, we're going to be different. I understand what people are revealing, and I'm up for it. Because he understands, hey, KD's going to bring them a new dimension to this team. KD looked him in the face and said, you know I'm coming there, and I'm going to take over. And he welcomed it. So Steph's in a position right now that he wants to win. and he believes that they have a better chance to win with KD. And they do have a better chance of winning a championship with KD. So kudos to a superstar who's willing to move out of the way and give the keys up.
We got more in the NBA coming up at 7:45. Now, the second half of the baseball season will kick off tomorrow. What do the Giants need to do to continue to maintain control of the NL West? We'll talk Rob Neyer, a little baseball next. 6:57, Chad Jones Low, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.